Well, good afternoon. I want to welcome you to this session, Polishing the Pulpit. And my name is Randy English. And of course, our topic today is interested in going or joining an ongoing mission effort. And I suppose that should be, are you interested? Or perhaps you're interested, but I'm thankful that you're here. And I do want to welcome each of you. Our time is short today. We have 30 minutes for this class, and we want to keep you on time. I also want to say before you get out of here, if you will send us an email or give me your email, we would love to share with you our monthly publication called Sunlight in the Pacific. It's two pages. My wife writes one about different parts of the work that I do, and I write the other one. And we would love to send that to you. So in the next 30 minutes, I'm going to share with you some important things as you consider about joining a mission effort, or perhaps you're already a part of a mission effort and you're just simply looking for additional information. I want to say that of importance in the matter, I feel, is that we really take a look at the things that are most important, because there's a long list of things we wouldn't be able to get through today. My wife and I, Sharon, have been serving now for 35 years. Actually, it was 35 years ago, I think yesterday, that we first went into the Pacific, made our home there on Tutuila Island in American Samoa. And from there, the elders gave us a mandate. We don't want you to just stay there and work there, but from there, go out into other countries. And so our whole 35 years and still continuing to this day is about making these mission efforts, these trips, these journeys into other countries from our base country there in American Samoa. We work among the Polynesian people, Micronesian, and Melanesian. Those are the three ethnic groups in the Pacific. I want to say to you today that, there are so many things. I'd like to start with Colossians 3 and verses 23 through 24. The Apostle Paul said, "Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." I love that verse. It's very plain and simple, but just profound. And it just reminds us of what we're doing and why we're doing it. And I really want to commend you for your interest in missions. There are some underlying assumptions about making a mission trip. Some things I think that we just assume that are known, perhaps sometimes are not. And I'm hoping to clue you in on some of those. But I've chosen the things that I feel like that are most important. And at any time after this class, or if you'd like to talk more or to go into more detail, I would be happy to do that with you. Myself or my wife, she's in another session right now, or one of my elders who is visiting with us today, Brother Steve Weiss. He's the one in the Alabama shirt over there. And I know he would be able to help you as well. He's spent many years on the mission field, serving now as an elder at our congregation where he oversees our work, the Forest Park Church of Christ. And so we just have a wealth of good men and women that are involved in the work. I want to say a few things about the importance and the importance of doing a work. And some of the things that truly are in my mind and in Sharon's, I talked to her about this, that are important to the both of us. And the first thing I would say is this, that you really, truly want to make sure that the missionary or the mission group that you're working with are sound in their Bible knowledge and practice. Some people might say, well, that's a given. No, it's not a given. And I know that after many years, we work with different people and we have a very good, painless process of just making sure that the folks that we're working with are sound in the faith. And you'll want that above everything else, because if you don't have that when you go to the work, it will be problematic for you. It will cause a problem in your life. Maybe not on the trip, but it will indeed. And so you want to just make sure of that. And when we think about making sure that the missionary or the mission group that you're working with is sound. How do you go about that? Well, speak to the missionary, of course, and his wife or his family, and find out a little bit more. You may already know them. Maybe your congregation has supported them for quite a while, or they came referred to you from a family member. Also, visit with the elders that oversee that family's work. Talk to them. You're going to get a different perspective about that work, perhaps, than you would the missionary who's living on the field. And then speak with those who have indeed worked with them on the field. That's very important. Talk to other people. Now, I have to say that in doing that, you know, sometimes you leave yourself open for some shots, but we tell people, we have a sort of a protocol that we go through on mission trips after they're completed. We ask people, tell us what you liked about the trip. Tell us what you see that was very effective or did not work. But if there's a problem, we ask them always to come to us to be able to communicate those things. So making sure that those you're working with are sound in their Bible faith is important. The next thing that I see as being as important is this question: will you be helping others to learn God's word? Now, you might say, well, of course, that's what every mission effort is about. And I'm going to say to you, no, it's not. There's a lot of mission efforts out there that aren't necessarily pointed toward teaching God's word. But my encouragement would be to you to make sure that the mission work that you're devoting yourself, come on in, folks, make sure that the mission work that you're devoting yourself to, or at least looking to get involved, is one in which you will have an active part in helping people to learn God's word. Now, there's a lot of ways that you can do that. You say, whoa, wait a minute, I'm not a Bible teacher or preacher. That's okay. The majority of the people that are joining us in the mission efforts are not necessarily preachers in the pulpit or elders, but these are the mass numbers of them are members who are not serving in that capacity. So how do we work this out? I think it's important that on any mission effort, and you will be the one that will be greatly blessed if you'll be sure of this, that you have some type of active part in helping another person to learn God's word, either through directly teaching or perhaps through preaching, personal studies, you know, one-on-one studies. Giving out tracts. Let me tell you what, you hand out a tract in our area of the world, it won't get thrown down. It'll get read and reread and read again until its pages are worn out. It's just beautiful. You know, everywhere you go, you can just invite someone and they're interested. They're not overran with printed materials. So that's a tremendous way to help people because they will read what you give them. And so I think that this is one of the most important things. Even though you might go to work, for example, on a project, and that's great. You might go on medical missions. Let's use that as an example. Every person that works on our medical missions team has an active part in teaching God's word in one capacity or another. You'll see a guy who maybe is a doctor or someone who's a nurse. They're going to be working half of their time in that medical profession, and the other half of the time, they're going to be involved in group teaching, teaching children's classes, preaching, personal studies. Here's what I learned after 35 years. At the end of the day, when that person, you or me, steps off of the field and you were privileged to do that great work, what's going to matter most is when you were able to help someone spiritually. I'm telling you the truth that you just absolutely cannot get it out of your mind and out of your heart if you make sure that there's an active part in teaching. And we're not dealing with, as I said earlier, people who have necessarily taught in Bible classes for many years. The majority of the people who are with us are not there at that point. There's another thing that we think is very important, and that is there truly needs to be a level, we think a high level of organization in the mission effort. You're going to need that. You're going to want that, and you deserve that. There is nothing worse than getting yourself ready, prepared physically, mentally, all the preparation that's needed, the cost and everything, and show up on the mission field, be there for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever, and feel, well, that you were not used. And nothing sadder than when we hear someone that comes off of a trip and they said, we ask them, well, what did you do? And And you see that sort of that glazed look on their face. And I know right then and there what's up. But I listen to them. We need to make sure that that mission effort is organized. And you'll know that when you begin to inquire in it. You'll find out, you know, what that missionary is doing or that group is doing in so much as their preparation for you. We start about 6 months in advance. Sometimes we'll start earlier than that. And we work that organization through a series of what we call team memos. We work for a few months prior to that time developing the team. It's made up of men and women all over the U.S., sometimes even from other countries. And then about 6 months before, we start that series of memos. And Steve will tell you, I know I write too much, but I'd rather fault on giving too much detail than not enough. Because I know the questions that are going to come up, and they need to be asked. And so that organization needs to be there before you go, and then certainly important when you hit the field. I mean, think about it. If you say, I'm committed to giving you 9 days on the field, you know, and then plus your travel time, you're going to want to really be put to good use while you're there. And there's all kinds of different works involved in that mission work that require some of them a lot more physical activity and some that's not. We know that. And so we'll talk to the individuals about going to make sure we know what they most can do or want to do, and then what we need them to do. So it is important. You need to expect that utilization of time, that it's organized well. You want to help people to know the gospel, to obey the gospel, and to be stronger in their faith. And so time is of the essence. And how does that missionary communicate with you? Are they good at doing that prior to the trip? What about your team leader? Is there a team leader on your group? Is he doing the right job with you to get the information that you need? Does he have a plan? And how do you exactly fit into that plan? You're an individual, and you may join 5 or 20, or you might join a group of 50, but you need to know exactly what you're going to be doing to the best of the ability. Okay, look at this next one now. Here's a good question. Where is it going to take place? The mission work, the effort that you're looking at joining, is it going to be overseas? Typically, that's what we think. Or is it going to be a mission effort that is in the U.S.? In our work, we're blessed to have both of those components. And, you know, some people, let's face it, they just don't either want to go overseas, and we got that, and some people actually do. We've got all different types of work in the Pacific work where we'll sometimes work in cities, urban areas, very busy. We've got other works that are going to be in villages, maybe an hour, 30 minutes outside the city, well manageable. We've got other areas that we work in where it's going to be like me and John and Steve, or maybe a woman would be with us that is literally going to the end of the earth. It's out there. And so those types of work, you need to be a little bit different cut, you know, to do that. But all of them are important. So there's a multitude overseas when you start looking at, well, how could I serve? And how could I serve best? But what about in the U.S.? Maybe you are not wanting to fly. I remember the first time I heard that from someone, and I'd booked already, you know, maybe a million miles. And I said, oh, you know, it's nothing. But my wife was ribbing me saying, yes, it is something. You've done it for too long and you forgot that. Some people don't want to fly. And I can understand that, but you still want to do mission work. So in looking at a work that's here in the U.S., for example, what we've done in our mission work in the Pacific Island Nations, we have what's called Pacific Broadcast Network. It's actually 45 minutes south of here, located upon a mountain, a 40-acre facility, where we work in the work of producing all of the broadcasts, but it's not all like that. You know, 40 acres, we got 5 buildings there. Imagine what can be involved in keeping that up and running. It's 100% done by volunteers, members of the church, 100% of, even myself. The elders never put that work on me, but it's a work that we came to them. And so that's a work in the U.S. You can drive to it. You can stay at the facility. We have good accommodations there, so very low cost. People say, well, what would I do? And I'll say, just think about it's your house. whatever, what all needs to be done at your home in order to keep that thing running smooth. Because if it doesn't run smooth, guess what? Pacific Broadcast, we have 8 stations, several streams. That doesn't run smooth. And I'm telling you, there's a multitude from the very simple to the very complex. We just had a team of 11 up there. The youngest one was 11. The oldest was in their mid-70s. One of the sisters, I know she has, MS. Now, you're thinking, okay, now how is she going to serve? Let me tell you, she knocked it out of the park and within her abilities. But she helped us. And every moment that we're getting that help helps me to be focused on something else. And so it's an important question. There are indeed works that are in the U.S. and, of course, overseas. When you're thinking about overseas, you got to think about, well, what's the country? Can I get in there, do my job, work safely, and get home in good condition? And I know that might sound a little bit scary, but we work hard on making sure that people that are with us, number one, are healthy. They're going to stay healthy while they're there. If they don't, we've got a plan. We'll work through that. We've had people to break hip. We had someone to, I don't know, it's all kinds of things. But you know, you're a team, and you take care of your team. And you make sure that people stay fit and healthy. But if they don't, we know exactly how to move in with that and take care of that. You want people to have a good experience because this is the work of God. We want them to be able to see that this work was accomplished and that good came from it. People obeying the gospel and living faithfully. Let's take a look at this next one, the amount of time you can give. This is a really good thing to think about. Sometimes, you know, short-term missions can get a bad rap, and I completely understand that. But the reason they get a bad rap a lot of times is because of some of these things I've just shared with you. There wasn't organization, or they didn't really have a plan that's, you know, helping people come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ for a variance of other things. The amount of time that you can give is something you need to think about. Can I give a week on the field? Well, if that's the case, then you're going to need a minimum of 9 to 10 days because you've got that travel time going over and coming back. What about 10 days or 3 weeks or so? So you just have to determine that and then come into a work that says, look, we can use you for this amount of time. And I know as a missionary, we work with people in the complete ranges of times. We've had people that will come out and stay. They say, we got 7 days and it's yours. And we say, okay, we take that. We've got people who have come out and stayed for a year. Now, I'll tell you what, that's a commitment, isn't it? And so you really want to think about that. It's important. And don't think that because you can't give a month or 3 weeks or whatever that you can't do it or shouldn't do it. That's not good thinking. That's the devil trying to convince you, you don't need to get involved in this. Make room for somebody else. The next thing is this. What are the different types of works available in the particular mission work that you are looking at? Well, I want to say that I can share with you what we know in our work. Of course, we have a lot of different areas of participation. First off, I think that comes to mind is evangelistic campaigns. We all know what that's like. You're going house to house, area to area. Even in a group like that, we've got people who don't do the miles on the foot. You know, you've got to always have people back, as David said, back at the home front while the others go out on the front line. But evangelistic campaign, very important. Man, we can go into some of those cities in the busy market areas and find a place that's really like shaded, you know, in the market and have some of the best tracts in the world that are simple and easy to discuss with people and study. And I guarantee you, I know Steve knows this, I know John knows this, that within 30 minutes, you're going to have the ability to sit down with someone off to the side somewhere and begin studying. It actually wouldn't take that long. These people are not a pushover to obey the gospel, but they will give you time to study the Word of God with them. So those evangelistic campaigns are indeed there. There's other training classes. A man says, look, I'm ready. I'm on board. But, hey, I can't get out on the foot every day. Fine. Then let's put you, either him or her, into a training class. it's a more structured environment. You'll teach every day. You might be teaching in our Bible college program. You might just be teaching in a series of lessons for edification. But that's definitely a big part of these mission efforts that we make. And those go from a week to 2 weeks to whatever. So that's a very structured environment where you're preparing your lessons on that topic. We assign the topic and help you with materials and things as well. There's also like medical missions. We have people serving in that a lot. And they said, well, I'm not a doctor or nurse. How can I serve? In our medical missions outreach, now remember, at the front of it always is teaching God's word. But if we've got a team that we've assembled for a medical mission, let's say that team is 10 people. Every one of them are going to be working in the medical missions in some capacity. But we're not going to vacate our nightly gospel sermons and our personal work, but we're not going to go in and work 1 hour a day on medical missions either. So how do we do it? We typically will set up shop in the mornings early and work until about noon, 11:30, something like that. We'll put in 4 or 5 hours on that medical mission. We divide that group into 5 or 6 teams of people. We have administration, pharmacy, we have vitals, we have the administrative work, taking patient information form on them. We have eyeglass. Man, you can get those eyeglasses for $1 a pair, and an islander cannot get those on his island. I mean, they can maybe in the cities, but they're not $1. And it's just the most wonderful thing. I know, because my eyes are not as good as they used to. You put on a set of glasses, and it's a wonderful thing. But every person that comes into that clinic or to that mock makeup clinic, that person is going to have the opportunity to sit down with someone and study God's word. It's the most beautiful thing, and if you commit to it right up front, it works. It helps people. They know they're there. John, did you ever take place in any of the medical mission? Okay, so he was a part of that, and I think you would have seen this balance. I know because you were teaching classes as well. I know Steve has. He's been out with us. So that's another type of effort. There's a type of effort that just simply is myself and one other person, one other man. And on those, we're going in for a very narrow, targeted goal. We want to go into an area typically that's very hard to get into and to work in, but, it's safe. You're not going to give up your life doing it. You're not going to, get in bad trouble doing it, but we want to get in there. Those are the areas that are really hard, very remote, and we know the gospel needs to go. And so we'll look more toward a team of 1 to 3 people. We've had women to join those as well, have gone right in with us. My wife and I would go. And that's work, where you're in the bush and you're working for a period of a week to 10 days, and then you're back out of it for a while. So there's just a great multitude of different works that are available. There's things that you can do that's not going on a trip, but you're working in the background, like for Pacific Broadcast. It's got 8 radio stations. Have you ever been in a radio station? There's at least 2 or 3 employees in there. Well, who's doing all that work at PBN? And it is God's people that's doing that. So we'll have a guy over in Minnesota, and he's doing some kind of production work for us. Or we'll have a lady that says, look, I've got 5 hours a week. Man, we're going to put her on some kind of an administrative skill for us that really helps us out. Well, let's take a look at our next one, and my time is drawing near. How much will it cost? Everybody always asks. That's not me, by the way, but I think that's a deacon at Forest Park, by the way, Max Newby. Anyway, how much will it cost? You've got to consider things like travel, food, accommodation, passports are not cheap these days, insurance, and transport. Now, transport is like when you're on the field, they're getting from point A to B, or that's not a real big cost, but insurance, your typical insurance in the U.S. will not cover you overseas, and we know exactly where to point people. Go right here, check it out. It'll cost you maybe $100 for the whole trip, and you're covered. You get in there, and you get sick, and you have to go to the hospital, and they have to vac you out of there. So those kind of things are important. Travel, food, accommodations. We know all of those areas. We're going to help point our team members, hey, look, here's what we found on the airfare. And let's jump on it. If you do it within a week, it's this. I just now was looking at a fare off of the West Coast, L.A., into Fiji. That fare is $689 round trip, but it goes up to $2,000 and something. So, you know, you can make it happen. The Lord blesses us to get in there. Money should never stop someone from doing a work for God. And, you know, the truth of it is it does not. If you work with people who can help you in that matter, how's that funding going to happen? Well, of course, it might come from you. It might come from your congregation. There's plenty of brethren who want to send men and women who are capable and who are working within the framework of a good, effective mission work. That's what I want to say about that. The cost there of food. Food is typically less expensive overseas than it is in the U.S. Man, I'm amazed at how the prices are going up. But, you know, you can find good food over there, and it's just not that expensive. Now, sometimes when you're eating, you know, in the village or something, there's no cost there. But that's a little bit different story. And those other costs are just reasonable accommodations. I think at hotel can really vary, but I think myself, I probably end up, when I get a hotel room somewhere, it might be about $60 to $65 myself, but I've always got someone with me. If it's just me and another guy, we split the cost of it and so forth and so on. So that's possible. And you would probably want to do that anyway. Okay, last question. Will I be used effectively in this mission effort? That's a question, brothers and sisters, that we need to carefully search our heart. We need to ask the questions, and we need to make sure that at least in so much as what the planning is, that it's planned for us to be used effectively. And if you investigate the work close enough, you will be used effectively. That team leader, that missionary, that group leader, whatever, his job, her job is to make sure that you're used effectively. That's what we want to see on the field. And you'll work hard, but I promise you this, that when you come back off of the field, you will be the one that will be greatly blessed. You're thinking, well, I'm going there to help people, and you are, and they're going to be blessed, but you will be the one that will be blessed. It's just incredible. There's nothing like being able to help people to come to a knowledge of the Lord. And man, when you see those people start making moves, and then you check back in a few months after you're off the field and you get a note from us that said, hey, what's his name? They obeyed the gospel, and flash forward a few years and they're leading in the Lord's church. It's just amazing. So you have the right to be used effectively. You should be used effectively. And so these are the questions I think that I would ask that are the most important in making that determination. In closing, I would just say this. Choose wisely, but choose prayerfully. Pray about a mission effort that you're looking at. Ask the questions and be wise in your choices. And if you will do that, if you'll take the time to do that, and especially praying, then you will be blessed with a great work that you have the opportunity to have a part in. My sweet wife and I went in July. I went in July of 1989, and she went a month later. I went in to sort of run all the geckos out of the house and everything else, and she came along 30 days later. We live in American Samoa. It's a country of about 62,000 people. It's a small country, but sort of right in the middle of the Pacific. And we live on one of the islands, one of seven. And so I came ahead of her, got the things ready. She came about 6 months pregnant. I remember the day that we first heard that she was pregnant, and I thought, oh, boy, that's going to really be different. And one of the elders stopped me and said, hey, wait a minute. Did you ever ask her if she wants to have that baby there? And we talked about it, and she made the decision to do that. That was the best decision I think that we ever made in our life. Nothing will bond you quicker to people than them to see a Palangi girl coming into their country having her baby rather than leaving that country to have that baby. God will be working on your behalf every step of the way. And if I or my wife can ever be of any help to you all as you think about a mission effort, whether it's the one that we're in or not, we will help you. God bless you. I think my time is about up, and I appreciate you taking time to come in here in this very cold room. Hey, it's not this cold in my refrigerator back home, I'm telling you, but you stuck it out, and thank you so much for doing so. God bless you.